topic tonight is gratitude. I'm not the only Dharma teacher who has been talking about similar topics this week. I've spent a great deal of time talking with people and offering comfort. It's been a wonderful exchange, actually. It's been a challenge, but also there's been wonderful comfort in sharing this difficult turn of events. I just got an email from Jack Kornfield. Jack's email, I think, was particularly helpful to me. And I want to start tonight's talk by reading it to you. His subject line was, "Practicing the Dharma in Uncertain Times." When times are uncertain, difficult, fearful, full of change, they become the perfect place to deepen the practice of awakening. After viewing the elections, whatever your point of view, take time to quiet the mind and tend to the heart. Then go out and look at the sky. Remember vastness. There are seasons to all things. Gain and loss. Praise and blame. Expansion and contraction. Learn from the trees. Practice equanimity and steadiness. Remember the timeless Dharma amidst it all. Think of the best of human goodness. Let yourself become a beacon of integrity with your thoughts, words, and deeds. Integrity in speech and action, virtue and non-harming bring blessings. Remember the noble truths, no matter the politics or the season. Hatred, greed, and ignorance cause suffering. Let them go. Love, generosity, and wisdom bring the end of suffering. Foster them. Remember the Buddha's counsel. Hatred never ends by hatred, but by love alone is healed. This is the ancient and eternal law. The human heart has freedom in itself to choose love, dignity, and respect. In every circumstance, embody respect and cultivate compassion for all. Let yourself become a beacon of Dharma. Amid the changes, shine with courage and trust. Love people. This is your world. Plant seeds of goodness and water them everywhere. Then blessings will grow for yourself and for all. Metta, Jack. As we approach Thanksgiving, we have an opportunity to soothe the ache of dissatisfaction over events that trouble us. Turning the mind toward gratitude is an ever-available antidote to the aversion or craving we feel as our lives keep changing We have a gorgeous full moon tonight. It's very close to us, which makes it so lovely. And we are together, which makes our Sangha so powerful. Now that we've had time to meditate together, sharing the energy and warmth of our mindfulness, we can be a great comfort and support to each other. It is important to acknowledge the difficult and often strong feelings that have come up for many of us in the past week. Living mindfully lets us do this with acceptance that this is how it is now. Sometimes, in trying to calm and comfort ourselves, we can inadvertently stifle emotions, which can cause them to go underground and trouble us for even longer. So maybe tonight we can say what we are and have been feeling. Just very simply state the emotions without the story that may still be accompanying them. Let's just name the experience of our hearts. As a Sangha, we will hold a space for each of us to have our feelings before we join together in finding a way to live with these emotions. Feel free to pass if you'd rather not share your inner experience. So I will go first. I have felt queasiness, fear, and determination. Who would like to go next? Well, it's clear that there's some hope, and there is a lot of dukkha. So let's take just a few minutes to come back to how we're experiencing the present moment. Maybe close your eyes and bring compassion to the suffering in our own hearts and to what we've heard from each other. And as you breathe in, allow the different reactions, letting the body take a full breath at its own pace. And perhaps the breath will pause. And then as the body breathes out, send comfort with that breath to yourself, to everyone here tonight, to everyone in America who shares this suffering, and to all those around the world with the same concerns. Breathing in the heartache and the fear, the anger and the shock, and breathing out kindness, compassion, and goodwill. Breathing in all beings suffering, and breathing out comfort and support to all beings everywhere, forever. Thanksgiving will be here in about 10 days. And maybe it's better if you don't focus on the historical roots of the holiday and just contemplate the hybrid noun and verb of its name. Thanksgiving. It's a bit like Brahma Vihara practice, where we are broadcasting goodwill. That's a future-looking contemplation, hoping that people will be well. Giving thanks is looking at what has happened or is happening now, and celebrating it and acknowledging that we're grateful for it. There's an uplift to it, and it carries with it a feeling of well-being. We have this, and it's good for us. It makes us happy. Thanks. It isn't necessary to say thank you to anyone. We can just be thankful for the goodness that's in our lives. This allows us to comfort ourselves as we did just now with the out-breath. I'm not trying to downplay tragedy or injustice or outrageousness. We took all that in with the in-breath. It's here, and we'll have to struggle with it for years. But as we do, we can bring peace to the heart, allowing it to open even more to hold all that is true right now, things that are difficult and the countless things that remain wonderful. Benjamin Disraeli, whose life was full of political ups and downs, said, "I feel a very unusual sensation. If it is not indigestion, I think it must be gratitude." When we have something good that came to us through the goodwill of others, then we do have someone to thank. We can give ourselves another gift by seeing this as a pleasant opportunity. I've had to overcome a sense of obligation in writing thank you notes or in other ways of expressing my appreciation, and cultivate the expansive feeling of acting out the happiness I felt in receiving a gift. Albert Schweitzer said, "To educate yourself for the feeling of gratitude means to take nothing for granted. Nothing that is done for you is a matter of course. Everything originates in a will for the good, which is directed at you. Train yourself never to put off the word or action for the expression of gratitude." When I was in high school, a long, long time ago, my mind was just burst open by Eric Hoffer's book, The True Believer. If he were here now, he would probably be saying, "I told you so." His book about cults and mass movements made the point that hatred was the strongest force to forge a mass movement, and its members focus on the past or future, devaluing the present. As we see when we practice mindfulness, the present is all there really is, containing everything, It's the only access we have to all that is good in life. In another book, Reflections on the Human Condition, Eric Hoffer said, "The hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings." There is no blessing too small to count. The sun coming out on a rainy day, finishing a hard job, a long hot bath, a warm or cold drink, a supermoon shared with friends, a smile in the crowd, a night in a comfortable bed, being able to do something without pain, butter melting on your toast. Anything and everything that can be added to the list of blessings can be celebrated, and our hearts will multiply their good effect on us, just as our minds can multiply misfortune into dukkha. This is a training we can decide to do. As with all mind training, it will be gradual, so don't get discouraged if you're not instantly the world's most grateful person. Alice Walker's book, In Search of Our Mother's Gardens, doesn't gloss over the heartaches of life. But in it, she says, "Wherever I have knocked, a door has opened. Wherever I have wandered, a path has appeared." We can get quite unbalanced by the shocks of life, or by just a constant drip of unpleasantness. And we can choose to rebalance ourselves. Equanimity is what I'm talking about. It's easy, though, to forget that equanimity is an inside job. We can't just sit around and wait for life to get equanimous around us. There are numerous ways to cultivate equanimity, and gratitude is the most joyous. When the mind is full of lamentation, make a gratitude list. Start with a short one. You're alive, and you have the basic necessities, at least for now. Share your list with a friend. Start a new one in the morning. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough, according to Oprah Winfrey. But when we're thankful for what we do have, she says, it may not actually multiply, but it feels like we have more. We can begin to feel downright wealthy. Really, is too much more satisfying than enough? This week, with the online course I teach out of IMC, I've spent a lot of time talking or emailing with people around the world who don't have sanghas like this in their neighborhoods. They're so grateful to have a teacher, to have this community so far away that has taken them in and offered them the benefits of practice and the Dharma. since Wednesday, they have been really kind. I've received emails from people who took the online meditation course years ago with subject lines like hugs and how are you doing? The Americans, I have to talk them down from hysteria before they can focus on their practice. One immigrant, a citizen, never could in our half-hour talk, which is too bad because, as Jack Kornfield said, that's exactly where we can get presence of mind, comfort, and wisdom. The ability to practice mindfulness is a lot to be grateful for. And the first, most important practice is to recognize that and to savor it. You may or may not have special plans for Thanksgiving, but I recommend a few things for your day. Meditate. List the things and events in your life that make you glad and the people who've been good to you. Express your gratitude. Revel in it. Thank you.